Let's go. Verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man standing before him with his sword, with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, now watch this, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, neither, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. Somebody say, I have come. Come on, say it stronger. I have come. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did not debate him. Joshua didn't ask why. Joshua just did so. God, give me a whole bunch of people that just do the did so. I'm tired of everybody arguing. Why, Pastor? Just do it. Just do Nike theology. Just do it. Verse 1, chapter 6. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus you shall do it for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets. Now it's very important that you read the Bible. Seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall go up, and everyone straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward. Somebody say, go forward. Go forward, march around the city, man, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now skip to verse 10, please, for the sake of time. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. Father, thank you for this word. And Lord, help me to preach, Lord God, in the next 45 minutes and 17 seconds. And Lord, I pray, God, that I'm just the setup man. I'm just the man that you've sent, Lord God, on a Friday night. And Lord, the atmosphere and the level is so high already. So I pray, God, that I do my assignment. And then tomorrow with Pastor Marie, God, it goes higher. Pastor Obed, it goes even higher. Pastor Josiah, come on. Pastor Sergio goes higher. Torrey goes even higher. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, because we're called to go from glory to glory. Come on, from strength to strength. This is the year of increase, and we declare it. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, can everybody say amen one more time? Give God one more big hand clap. Thank you. You may be seated. Maybe seated. I want to, if you're taking notes, I want to just share a word with you that I believe is really for Freedom House Church. And I think it will apply to other pastors and leaders that are here, but predominantly I really feel as if this message is for your church. I believe it is a message in season for your church. That everything you've been going through, come on, God is bringing you through. And so I want you, if you could lock in with me, and forgive me if I would just teach a little bit, because I know that last year I kind of got to preach on and I began to shout, but I'm still recovering from how crazy I was last year. I've been preaching now full-time 27 years, 30 years I've been preaching this gospel. I know I don't look that old. I'm not. Started when I was 3. Come on, somebody. Just kidding. And I really feel like I was praying. I really felt like the Lord was speaking, and I was even praying, and I'm not just saying this, but even when I was traveling, when I was in Chicago and Memphis, I was praying on the airplane and just really felt like that you're in a strategic season in Freedom House Church. And so I just want to just share this word, and hopefully it's going to resonate with your life personally, resonate with your church corporately, because there's something happening in the spirit. Can you feel it? We were singing it, right? And it's almost as if, you know, you're like the children of Israel. You've been wandering, wondering. And God's about ready to come on and give you your own permanent place. But don't miss out on the lessons. Come on, God is teaching you in this season. Because what happens is we always live from here to there, thinking that there, when we get there, then our life's going to be okay. But there is never there, because when you get there, you're always looking for another there. So you have to understand that what God is doing right now is significant in your life. Because I'm always looking, well, when I get there, when I get my new building, when I get there, when I get on that platform, when I get there. And we're always looking for there. And God's trying to teach you now. But as people, we always live for tomorrow and we miss out on our today. We always miss out on what God is teaching us today because something in us says something, you know, tomorrow. And I'm all for vision. I'm all for tomorrow. But I want to let God, come on, teach me something today. So the title of the message is just write this down if you want to write it down. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. You don't like that title? Don't quit. If you don't like that title, give the whatever title you want. No matter to me. You just title it however you want it. But I just believe this, that when God began to speak to Freedom House about your future, how many know that strongholds begin to be erected against your future? That we want increase, but we don't want resistance. But the way you get increase, come on, is with resistance. The way you get increase is you have a challenge before you. That's how you get bigger working out. Thus, you have seen that I don't like increase very much. I don't like resistance in the gym. Most of the time, what the enemy does is he knows that he cannot stop what God is going to do in your life or in your church. But what he does is he tries to discourage you so that you just simply stop and quit. You simply, come on, just stop short. Most of the things in my life, if I'm honest, I have stopped doing it because I was so focused on the outcome that when it didn't come fast enough, I just stopped. The problem with becoming outcome based in your life is if it doesn't come quick enough, then you will give up. Let's see if this is real people here. Has anybody ever started working out before? Can I see your hand right now? Okay, wave in the air like you really do care. You started working out, and because the outcome didn't come quick enough, come on, you ended up quitting. January's coming. I know you're going to start again. Come on, somebody say amen to that. We all going to do it. Yeah, this year. No, stop the madness. But the fact is that, watch, I had a guy, and he says, Pastor, I need to help you get in shape. Now, this guy in my church is 5-time Pan American world champion in jiu-jitsu. He's one of the top practitioners of jiu-jitsu in the world, trains all the UFC guys. He's 48 years old, shredded with like 6% body fat. I could even, if I gave you his Instagram and just look at him, but it would cause some of you people to sin. I'm talking the men. Come on now, what I'm talking about. You're going to get such a man crush on this guy. You can't take your eyes off this guy. I mean, he's I didn't even know you could have a 9-pack. Come on, somebody. So he goes, I want to work you out, Pastor. I said, okay, let's go, Kibo. So when are we going to work out? When are we going to start? He's going to go, tomorrow morning. Oh, great. Where are we going to work out? He goes, your house. Now, I wanted him to say the gym, because then I could sleep in and just tell him, man, my alarm went off. I'm so sorry. I couldn't make it. He goes, I'm coming to your house. I said, what time? He says, 6 a.m. I'm saying, the devil's a liar. Don't come at 6 a.m. Come on, work with me, right? So he gets his TRX system. If you know what that is, it's like body weight stuff, right? So he brings his TRX, and sure enough, he knocks on the door. I roll out of bed. I go down there, and there he is. You ready to work out? I go, well, do I have a choice? And here he is. And so, you know, he hooks it up on the door, and man, I start, you know, going like, you know, And he goes, okay, you can pull yourself back. I said, I'm trying. He goes, well, we got it. So is he doing this and doing that? Then Then he says, okay, it's time to do some planks. I said, what's a plank? He does a plank, and I'm like, that don't look hard. So I'm like, you kidding me? I'm from Pico Rivera, man. I could do anything like that. You kidding me? That's all you're going to do? I'm a Mexican. Come on, somebody. I'm not a Mexican. So I start planking, and then, come on, within like a few seconds, I start shaking. And he's, you know, you're working your core. I go, dear God, I don't want to work my core. can I work my back? Just lay on it. Can I do something else? I mean, okay, so watch me now. My wife comes down. She's getting her coffee, and we've been working out for about an hour, and I'm shaking. I'm like nauseous. I'm like sweating. And we finally finished the workout, you know, and I got to keep a good image. So I said, hey, Kibo goes, you okay? Yeah, Kibo, good, man. See you. When are you going to come back? Tomorrow, 6 o'clock. I'm like, go ahead. And he walks out, and I almost vomit, and I'm like, fall out. Not by the Spirit now. And so the next day, the only thing that happened to me is I was sore. I was sore in place. I didn't even know I had muscles there, man. And I'm like, this is not no fun. He comes back, and I'm sore. And I just kept getting sore and sore and sore till finally I faked an injury. Kibo, I think I blew out my shoulder. I need 2 weeks off. You're a healing man. I know, but I don't have faith for this right now. I'm just hurting. See, because I was so outcome-based. I mean, imagine if all of a sudden it's like, you do your first plank, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. I mean, if you start popping, you're ripped. I mean, if that was the case, man, I'd be throwing planks down as I'm waiting in line at Costco. I mean, long red lights, I'm getting out of my car, planking, come on, in the intersection. I'm a pop, 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 pop. Because that's the way we want to do life. We want things to happen overnight, but you don't get spiritual strength. You don't get increased by things happening overnight like that. Now, I know you're not going to say amen and preach because you're the kind of people that you just want God to do it all. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't do it all. You keep on quoting the scripture. God doesn't give the increase until somebody planted and somebody watered. We think God's going to plant and God's going to water and God gives the increase. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says somebody's got to sow. Come on, somebody's got to water. And then God finally looks and says, oh, right now, I'm going to water that. I'm going to increase that. And you watch what's going to happen. You see, I have realized that I cannot be focused on the outcome as happening right away and overnight. This is what's happening in Joshua chapter 5. Let's give a perspective of this. Because Joshua chapter 5, do you understand? That Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that 40 years before said, we could take this place. We could take this. I mean, look at, I know there's giants. I know there's big cities. But if God said we can do it, come on, we can do it. And these two men, Joshua and Caleb, walked in the wilderness, not because of their unbelief, but because of somebody else's unbelief. If I was Joshua, I'd be a little bit bitter, a little bit mad. It's like, why I have to walk 40 years extra for these people that didn't believe. But you know what the cool thing is that whole generation died off except, come on, Joshua and Caleb. Which means this, real faith will always outlast unbelief. I'm going to preach. I don't care what you say right now. You see, I don't care what people say. If you stay in faith and you trust God and you say, I know it doesn't look like anything's happening. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but I know my God spoke to my pastor and said, this is the year increase, and you can go and act crazy, but I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe this is my year of increase no matter what, and you can walk in unbelief, but I'm going to stay in faith. Somebody say amen. Now watch. Now watch this. Now watch because now Joshua has to follow, we would believe, the most incredible leader in the Old Testament, a guy named Mo. Mo was an awesome leader. I mean, check out Mo. If you know your Bible, Mo has a stick. And anytime Moses kind of like waved the stick, he waved the stick over the Red Sea, it split. He throw down his stick, it becomes a snake. Two other sorcerers throw down their snakes. Now it's two snakes against one snake. Come on, that's a Pico Rivera gang fight right there. And what happens? Come on. Moses is one snake. Come on, swallows the other snakes.
right? I mean, Moses, when he waved that and flies would come, he'd wave that stick. Everything happened with that stick. Now, here's what the Bible says. It says this, that now God comes to Joshua and says, Mo is dead. My servant is dead. As I was with Mo, so I'll be with you. And he says, every place the sword before trespass, I will give to you. As I was Moses, so I'll be with you. Now, if I'm Joshua, I'm like, I'm cool with your presence, but where's the stick? Come on, work with me. Because the people, when they saw the stick, they probably felt some confidence. The stick. So Joshua shows up to the people. Joshua don't got the stick. But if I was Joshua, I want the stick. I need to throw it down, make it a snake. I need to wave it, some flies. I want the stick. But God didn't want the people to put their faith in the stick, because it was never about the stick. Listen to me. It's never about what God uses. It's always God's presence on what he is using. It's not just about a person. It's about the presence of God. Come on, somebody, on a person. So Joshua no got the stick, although I would want the stick. Give me the stick. No stick. So now that's in chapter 1. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Now in chapter 5, we pick it up. In chapter 5, if you know your Bible, they actually now get circumcised. But they're not 8 days old. If I'm going to get circumcised, it's going to be 8 days old. I don't remember the trauma. Come on. But you're like 40, and they're doing it with rocks. I would just say, before you cut me with that rock, knock me out with that rock. And you better sharpen that bad boy. Sharpen that bad. I want to be the first guy, not the thousandth guy. Ooh, it's really dull. It's dull. It's dull. No. I want to be the first one. If there's kids in here, I'm sorry. Ask your parents what circumcision is. Just don't Google it. So watch. That's ugly, man. So in chapter 5, they circumcise a whole generation. And I got to speed it up because now I only have 30 minutes left. They circumcise all these men. And it's very interesting that the Bible says that as they are healing in Gilgal, as Joshua is healing, Joshua is still in a little bit of pain. Joshua isn't all right at this moment. And he's sitting there, the Bible says, and watch, he's looking at the stronghold that is between him and the increase that God has promised him. His possession, come on, that God has promised him. And he's there, and I believe that Joshua, being a tactical man that he is he's probably surveying it, and he's saying to himself, how am I going to scale those walls? How am I going to take this city? I'm a man of warfare since my youth. And he's there, and at that moment, I believe he's probably a little bit overwhelmed. I believe at that moment, he's saying, this is bigger than me. This is too big for me, and too big for my people, and too big for my army. And this is what I believe God began to do and began to speak to me in my life. And I believe it's going to help you. There's just three simple points. Number one, write this first one down, is that God distracts you. I always thought distraction was from the enemy until I began to read my Bible, and most of the time it's from God. God is distracting this man named Joshua. Joshua is now distracted. Why? Because he is looking at Jericho and how big Jericho is. He is analyzing this and seeing that the walls are so big. He's realizing that it is impossible to take this city. And the stronghold wants him and wants you to be so focused on it that it now becomes so big that your perspective gets blocked. The stronghold wants you to see how big it is, how impossible it is to take it down. It wants you to be stronghold focused, problem focused, sight focused, instead of God focused, Jesus focused, and forward focused. So what happens in the midst is that the Bible says that God now distracts him. This man shows up And the scripture is clear that it is a man. And Joshua looks at this man, and he sees this man, and his sword is drawn in his hand. Now, where I grew up, if somebody on the street has a sword drawn, I ain't walking up to them. I'm just going to go the other way. Come on, work with me, right? Joshua shows up, and he comes up to this man, and he encounters this man who distracts him from this stronghold, who distracts him from the big situation he's facing. This man is ready for action, and watch what happens. Joshua asks this man, "Are you for us or you're against us?" And this man says, "I am neither. I am not here to take sides. I'm here to take over." See, we always pit God on sides. What side is God on? Is he a Democrat or a Republican? Is God for Trump or Obama? If God is this or if God is that. And I'm telling you what, God is not interested in picking sides. Come on, he's interested in taking over. God is into the takeover plan. And God now shows up and he says, "No, I am the commander of the armies of God." And at this point, Joshua looks away from Jericho and he sees this man. And this man is not just a regular angel, but now Joshua is being distracted from the biggest issue of his life. And now he has come and now he's looking at the stronghold named Jericho that is so big that it's blocking out his perspective. But this angel is not just an angel, but it is rather Jesus himself who actually makes an audacious statement. And he says, "No, Joshua, I have now come. I have now come, and I want you to know that heaven is in this battle. I want you to know, Joshua, that maybe you didn't understand my timing. Maybe you don't understand everything, but I have now come, and I have come, and I want you to take your eyes off of what you're looking at that is so impossible, that is so big, that is beyond yourself, that I have come now to distract you because that is overwhelming you, but I don't want you to be overwhelmed by that. I want you to be overwhelmed by my presence. I want you to be overwhelmed by my presence. For now, I have come." Jesus has come and affirms that he is over all things. Jesus now comes and says, "Joshua, I want your attention on me." That stronghold, Joshua, it's bigger than your willpower. It's bigger than your ability. It's bigger than your wisdom. But Jesus has now come and saying, "I am here to take over. I am here and I am for you. I am here to bring you that increase." And at that moment, Joshua watch falls down and begins to worship. He wasn't asked to worship. He didn't have a worship leader say, "Come on, folks, clap your hands and shout. Come on, come on, people." I'm not against that. But when you really encounter Jesus, your response is worship. No, I'm just being honest. So he said, just talk like I was at my church. And I don't understand some people. I'm tired and I'm older now, so I'm just going to say it like it is. Because you got me tired. You wouldn't even let me rest today. People just kind of like, yeah, we're worshiping, and they got their hands in their pocket, looking at their phone. I'm like, you've never encountered heaven before. Because when you encounter heaven, and when we begin to worship, see, Christianity is about a response to all that God has done. See, Joshua realized that what he was facing was bigger than him. It's like Peter. Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, that's you? Call me on the water." "It's me. Come on up, Pedro." Come on, I'm bilingual. Hablé español. He walks on the water. We know the story, right? He begins to sink, and preachers, for 30 years, I've heard preachers, and you know, Peter, he took his eyes off of him, and I'm like, shut up. How many steps have you walked on water? No, I'm just honest. These preachers are like, dude, you haven't, try it in your pool with no waves and no wind, and let's see if you make one step, Jethro. I get tired of preachers like, listen, man. And he began to sink. But the principle is this. What was over Peter's head was already under Jesus' feet. Okay, I tried that section over here because you missed a big shot, right? Big amen. He says, Jesus, help me, because it was over his head, but what's over your head is already under Jesus' feet. And Jesus picked him up and brought him back to the boat. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what's facing you. I don't know how big it is. I don't know how strong it is. I don't know what it's saying to you, but it is bigger than you, but it's not bigger than Jesus. What is over your head is under his feet. And you got to begin to say, God, distract me how big you are. God, distract me, because with you, come on, all things are possible. God, distract me, because my tithe, it's hard to tithe. I don't want to tithe, but God, you got to distract me. God, you got to distract me. You got to distract me. God, don't make me so outcome-based. If it doesn't happen overnight, then I'm going to stop. I don't want to become outcome-based. I want to become obedience-based. God, just distract me. God, distract me, distract me, distract me. God, just distract me. God has been distracting Benny Perez. God has been gaining my attention. God has been arresting me and saying, Benny, I am bigger than the shooting. I'm bigger than what you've been going through. I'm bigger than the bankruptcy. I'm bigger than the failures. I'm bigger than all that. I have shown up and I have come now. Now. And God shows up and begin to distract this man. And Joshua bows down, and he is not asked to worship, but he does worship. And as he worships, he's distracted from the impossibility of the situation and puts his eyes on Jesus. He puts his eyes on Jesus. Why does this stuff happen? That's the wrong question to ask. People asking me, they're shoving these mics in my face. Different media outlets, Fox, national and local, Christian television, newspaper, all interviewing me. And the number one question is, why did it happen? And one thing I learned this, even if you understood the why, it does not bring comfort to your life. See, questions, watch me, answers to questions do not bring comfort to the pain and loss. So watch, if somehow something happened to my wife and she's no longer with me and she's with Jesus, me knowing why does not change the fact that I've lost my wife. Listen to me. You're asking for questions to be answered, but answers to questions, listen to me, do not bring comfort to the pain and loss. The only thing that brings comfort to the pain and loss is the presence of Jesus. So I said this to the media. I'd rather walk with no answers having Jesus than having answers with no Jesus. Because Jesus, come on, somebody help me now. Jesus is what it's about. So Joshua is there and he's distracted from this big old city named Jericho. And the second thing in the midst of that happens, write this down, is God directs him. God distracts him, and then God directs him. God says to him in verses 1 through 5, see, I have given you the city. God speaks in past tense about a battle Joshua has not yet fought. Joshua, I have given you the city. God directs us from his perspective, not ours. Wait, God. Maybe you should say, you're giving me the city. I haven't yet fought for it. No, Joshua. I have already given you. It's called God speak. God calls those things that be not, come on, as though they are. The problem is that we view life through our perspective. And God says, I want you to view life, come on, from my perspective. What happens, what God speaks, does not line up with what you see. Joshua, I've already given you victory over this stronghold. What you see is not greater than what you believe. What you see is not greater, come on, than what God says. For we walk by faith, come on, and not by... Now listen. I'm just gonna say it. I think we've missed it because I've heard Benny Perez a few years ago preach the opposite
of faith is fear.
That is not biblical. The opposite of faith is not fear. The opposite of faith is sight. When you begin to walk by sight, then fear comes in. The opposite of fear is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. So if we're not careful, we say, well, if you're not walking in faith, you're walking in fear. No, no. If you're walking by sight, it means you're not walking by faith. And your sight, come on, will not be true. See, what I see is my perception. But it's not God's perception. Right? I have to be careful that I don't let people, what they see, put what they see on my mission. I can't allow what people say, right? Because what they're saying is from their perspective, not God's perspective. So we have a man and a woman. Can a nation be taken in one day? Right? And that sounds crazy. Can a nation? And could a nation? Yet, I know they've done it three times now. But I'm telling you, when they were probably talking about it, if they listened to other people's perspective, it'd be like, well, that can't be done, and that's never been done, and how's that going to be done? You can't allow somebody else's perspective to sway you from God's mission in your life. That you have to be careful that God begins to direct you and God begins to speak to you, and that now you understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I have given you the city. I have given you this already. See, understand that building you're about ready to possess, God already gave it to you. Just because you're in it doesn't mean you don't possess it. Just because my bank account doesn't show I'm not blessed doesn't mean I'm not blessed. Just because my body does not show I'm not healed doesn't mean I'm not healed. I got to work this section over here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if we're not careful, we look at things and we begin to tell God what he's promised isn't true. But God always calls those things that be not come on as though they were. It's like God comes to Abram and says, Abram, I want you to know something, Abram. I want you to leave all that you know. And he says this, and as you go, I will show you. We don't like that. We like, show me and I'll go. Okay, let's just be real. I come back. I say, Wendy, we're leaving La Jolla. That's where I want to live. I have a place in Corona del Mar, so I kind of like that place. So, Wendy, we're going to leave Corona del Mar. Where are we going? Don't know. God just spoke to me. Pack up. We're leaving. Where are we going? Don't know. Can we ask Siri? No. Samsung, burn up in your hand? No. You know? See, we read the Bible, we take out the emotion out of it. Like, these are robots. Can you imagine you're Abraham and you come back and say, here we go. We're leaving. Where are we going? Don't know. God said, as I go, he'll show. Now, the real woman, the real person of faith isn't Abraham, it's the woman. Because the woman had to believe her crazy husband, come on, heard from God. Come on, ladies, I'm trying to help you right now, ladies. Come on, help me now. I mean, honestly, if I came home tonight and said, Wendy, we're selling the house in Corona del Mar, and we're just going to get in our car and just drive. She goes, you go by yourself. We want a roadmap. God don't give roadmaps. God is looking for men and women that will understand that there's no roadmap. It's all faith, and you got to trust in what God is saying. Come on, clap your hands real strong right now, because I sense something shifting in about 10 minutes. So he says this, you're going to march around the city. You will march around with the Ark of the Covenant once for 6 days. And the seventh day, you're going to march around seven times. The directions don't seem logical if you're taking a city and if you're conquering a stronghold. And God says, but you got to do it my way, not your way. And most of the time, we get in the way because we're facing a situation using our intellect, our ability, our wisdom, instead of using God's wisdom. Now, something very interesting happens here. Is that God tells Joshua a bunch of stuff, but Joshua doesn't tell the people everything. He never tells the people that the walls are going to fall down flat. He never tells them that. He never tells them that, you know what, that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Oh, excuse me, he tells them, but he doesn't tell them all the things about walking around this many times. It doesn't go to them at that much detail. And yet God gives them all the detail. And he says this, what I want you to do is I want you now to have my presence, the Ark of the Covenant, lead the way. So the people would be preoccupied with God's presence rather than the problem. So they said, put the priest way up there, put the Ark of the Covenant there, and the people and the men of war, and as they follow the priest, as they follow the presence of God, march around the city one time, and then what you do is you go back home. March around it another time, and you go back home. And march it just one time. Now, Jericho was not that big. It'd take you maybe a couple hours to walk around this city. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, too many people are wearing themselves out. Watch me now. He says, I want you to rest more than you work. I'm going to blow your mind. It only took them 1 hour to walk around, and then he says, go home and rest. Because once you get a promise from God in your spirit, you don't have to strive to see it come to pass. He says, just march around it one time and then go back. March around one more time and then go back. Can you imagine the people? We're done already? All right. Let's go back home. And God began to do something within these people. And he says, man, I know it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I know it doesn't seem like it's going to work. But it brings me to my third point as I get ready to land the plane. So now watch me. God develops you. He distracts you. He directs you. Come on, someone. He develops you. The progress is not always obvious. The people walked around the city and nothing happened. They did it for 6 days and nothing happened. No bricks fell off, no cracks in the wall, nothing. Now, if I was God, I know how people are motivated. First time we walk around the city, the top bricks would all fall off. It's like, woo. Second day, come on, second row. Third day, big old crack in the wall. I'm like, woo, it's working. But there was nothing happening. And God was teaching them, and he'll teach us, that we cannot be outcome-based, but obedience-based. In other words, I'm not responsible for the outcome, only for my obedience. I'm just called to watch me sow and water. I'm called to obey, come on, by sowing and watering. The outcome is up to God. I got to sow and I got to water. Come on, God, can you knock down a brick? Give me one brick, just one. Show me a crack. Show me something, God, that it's actually working. What will you do that when you begin to walk, it doesn't seem like it's working? What will you do and I do when I've been doing everything God told me to do and it doesn't seem like it's working? I got to keep on walking. If it doesn't seem like it's working, I got to keep on walking. God is developing something in me. Will you take the first step regardless if you see the change or not? Real change always takes place with the first step. And what is God trying to develop in Joshua? And what is God trying to develop in Freedom House is I got to trust in him and I got to trust over trying. I got to believe God and not what I see, not what I feel, not what I think. I'm going to rise up and say, God, no, you spoke to us. You spoke to us about Orange County. You spoke to us, oh Lord God. And I know there's no bricks falling, there's no cracks in the wall, but I'm going to trust God that you're going to do it. I'm going to believe God. I'm just going to keep on walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. That's why Joshua said, by the way, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. No, because this is what we do. Is that a sign we're ending? Then get away. Watch. I'm just warming up, man. I'm going to come down here. He said I could do it. That's what I tell my team. I love you, but... No, just kidding. Well, start playing then if you're going to be there. This guy's got help. What's he developing in you? I feel it's so strong. If we're not careful, we develop people that have big confessions but have no endurance. The Bible says the promises of God, they're inherited by faith and perseverance. I know you don't want to shout over this, but it's like, I don't like persevering. I know. I stopped doing planks because if I did them and they just pop, 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 I'd even do a plank right now, pop, pop, pop. I mean, but it didn't work because I became so outcome-based. See, what you have to understand is usually the first city, the first permanent campus, the first thing is just God helping you build endurance. Because after Jericho, they took 9 other cities. And what you think is a delay and what you think is a denial is God saying, no, I'm helping you build spiritual muscle. Because what I'm about, and I'm going to prophesy in just a moment, but Freedom House Church, you will double within 6 months. Listen to me. Listen to me. I know you're all clapping, but you don't realize what it's going to take. Because we like increase, but it's going to take you to trust God in a way you've never trusted God before. And watch, he was developing the people. And what he's developing in them is a trust to do warfare in a way that was foreign to them. You see, in this day of grace, some of you are wearing yourself out. And when we do warfare, we're not warring for victory, we're warring from victory. We're not trying to do anything. We're trusting in all that God has spoken to us. I would call Josiah and say, listen, it's going to take a little bit longer than you think. And I know he didn't want to hear that. But I just knew instinctively it was going to be longer. But it just means it's going to be sweeter when you get in. No, listen to me. Joshua, I want you to do this once for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around. Then I want you to tell the people to shout. Don't tell them to say anything. But you're going to shout. With one shout. And he says this, blow the horns. Last point is, God will declare through you. I did some study, and there's two major horns that they would blow. They would blow a ram's horn, a shofar, and that would signal worship and signal a new beginning and would signal a year of jubilee, increase. There was also the silver trumpets that were used to call the people to gather together for war. Now, you would think that God would tell them to blow the silver trumpets. That's not what he told them. He said, I want you to blow the ram's horns trumpets. Because they were not, watch me, warring to get a city. God was saying, I want you to worship because I'm giving you a city. He says, blow the ram's horns and signal that this is the day. This day is the day that I'm going to give you, come on, the city. I'm going to give you a new land. I'm going to give you, come on now, a new territory. I'm going to give you, I want you to blow the ram's horns.